We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Jonah Cameron and John Ritchie, 94 WIP. We'll get to the Ben Simmons saga coming up shortly here. Also, this season for the Eagles, a success or not? Your opinion, 215-592-9494. I'll give you an opinion, John, sent to me by a buddy of mine who's a chef. And here's his tweet. He says, bro, Richie needs to learn as a chef. Now, he's not implying you're a chef. He's implying that he's a chef, which he is. Cooking professionally for over 20 years, you don't eat fish in a diner.
Thank you.
I mean, come on, John. Fish in a diner?
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
What are we doing?
I mean, I'm not saying I get here? Fish every time. Yeah. I'm saying if it tickles
one
my
time
fancy,
is too many.
Yeah. I will get the fish.
Grilled cheese, breakfast food, burgers. Yeah. Keep
I don't
it
think
simple.
You guys yeah. understand how much I love fish.
It I don't think you understand how much we feel like you should not order fish in diner.
Exactly right. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Anthony's with us right now. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, what's going on, Joe? John, first time caller.
Well, thanks, Anthony.
So, I believe that the Eagles season was not a success, and here's why. They weren't better than the Dallas Cowboys. They couldn't even win a division. Like, at least with a minimum, you have to win a division to have a successful season.
I don't agree with that, but I think the standard of holding yourself up to your main rival does matter. And they really weren't close to the Cowboys.
Not even close.
Yeah, they really
not
weren't.
Even close.
Yeah.
Now, on the other hand, if they would have won Sunday and beaten the playoff team in the playoffs, I may consider saying they had a successful
Oh,
team.
Well, for sure. But they not only didn't win, they got blown out.
Right. So, yeah, that's, as far as being successful, no, not at all.
I think it's a great point to make.
I mean, they need – oh, I hope that they use these draft picks well. I'd like to see, like, some defensive studs come in because they need help on defense. The offense is average. I mean, whether they go quarterback or not, I think they can still maybe have Hurts for another year and see what he can do with maybe add another weapon on offense.
Right.
But I don't know.
Yeah. No, I think we need to see Jalen with a legit, like, 1-2 wide receiver and Dallas Goedert, not just a wide receiver or Dallas Goedert.
Right.
Because, you know, like, a lot was made of that. Actually, Angelo, when he talked to Nick Sirianni about, a certain play during that game, talking about cover 7, where you can basically double Dallas Goedert and double Devontae Smith.
Yep.
I mean, teams can do that because no one else is a threat.
There's no one else, right. There's no one else that's a threat.
Anthony, give me a great character active in a TV show today.
As much as I like what you've already said with Marty Bird in Ozark, I'm going to go Michael Keaton in Dope Sick.
All right, you got it.
I haven't seen it, but people say it's a really good show.
All right, very good.
Really?
By the way, other characters from Ozark can apply. I mean, there's a couple in particular that I think are really, really good.
Hey, he said Michael Keaton there, yes. And I, you know, my brain jumped to Michael J. Fox.
Okay.
Of course.
Yeah, it's a different Michael.
But I wouldn't say of course.
Well,
I don't think everyone's did. I thought of Batman.
I mean, if anything, you should jump to Michael Douglas because Michael Keaton's real name is Michael Douglas.
Well, look, the reason it jumped to Michael J. Fox.
Yep.
Because Alex P. Keaton.
Ooh. Oh, okay. I see that.
But
we're talking TV characters?
Yeah. I mean, that's who I was thinking he was talking about at first, yep. Michael J. Fox. Have you seen Michael J. Fox lately?
No.
Why?
I saw a picture of him in my Us Weekly.
Yep.
Unrecognizable. Completely unrecognizable.
Because of the disease?
I don't know.
Hmm.
He was sitting next to Ben Stiller, who is also like completely like Steve Martin gray hair Ben Stiller. Like he's almost unrecognizable. But Alex P. Keaton,
wow.
Michael J. Fox, I didn't know it was him.
That's a vicious disease he has. I don't know if it's related or not. All right, Twitter poll question of the day. Do you think the 76ers will trade Ben Simmons before this season's trade deadline, which is, I believe it's February 10th, coming up in about 2.5 weeks? A, yes, B, no. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. So the latest, if you don't know, Daryl Morey on the record, saying that he thinks it is more likely that the Sixers will not trade Ben Simmons before the trade deadline. Now, he completely acknowledges he wants to trade Ben. He might be able to trade Ben, but he is not of the mindset to trade Ben Simmons unless the 76ers get back a player or players or assets, whatever you want to call them, draft picks, players, whatever it is, that he believes moves them much closer to being a championship contender. He's not looking. He is, and he's very clear that he is not looking only for a marginal upgrade or a trade that makes people within the 76ers organization and 76ers fans happy to be able to say, hey, see that checklist right there? We got this thing on our list of things to do, trade Ben Simmons. We're not going to trade him just because we want to check that item off the checklist. We're only going to trade him if we can actually get something that we believe makes us a real elite championship contender. John? That strategy from Daryl Morey. You like it? You don't like it? What are you thinking?
I loved hearing what he had to say because it's the right way to approach this. I know we hate Ben Simmons. Yes. I mean, I hate that part, that it means we might waste the season. But doesn't it make you feel better, Joe, when he says basically – yeah, everyone wants Ben gone, but if we sacrifice and settle for less than what would truly make us a championship contender, we're not just sacrificing this season. We're burning every season from here to
that part makes
forward.
That part makes
that
sense.
That absolutely makes sense. He's saying, yes, we might have to sacrifice this season. Yes, we might have to sacrifice the unbelievable effort and improvement that Joel is putting forth on the court. Now, he also said that improvement might be helping get something done. That's opening up some avenues that maybe wouldn't have been there otherwise. But I love the fact that he said, if our odds haven't changed much at all because of this trade, then we've not just burned away this season, we've burned away our future as well. That is smart. That's why I put my trust in Daryl Morey, and I think he will get the right trade done. It might be frustrating. We might have to wait and sit on our hands, and that's going to be tough.
All right, here's the deal. So I think, John, what you're saying makes a lot of sense, and that what he's saying in that regard makes sense. But here's the thing to me that's never made sense. The whole time, this, I don't know, call it, I mean, we got to be up to about 4 months now of this nonsense, probably longer. I mean, it really goes back pretty much to the end of the summer. So we're probably talking about 6 months. No one has convinced me that this strategy of waiting will actually net the Sixers, will actually get the Sixers the kind of spectacular return Daryl Morey apparently is dug in to wait for. Like, if I felt that by waiting 2 weeks or into next offseason,
well,
that it's like,
what
I'm
talking about. He's saying he's going to wait until he gets that return.
What I'm saying is,
which is fine.
No, John, listen to me real clear. I do not believe Daryl Morey will get the return that he claims to wait for.
Well, if he doesn't, then that is an absolute failure.
Correct. That's my point.
But he says he's not going to pull the trigger on this deal.
I know what he
until
says.
Until it's a deal that really gives us a chance to win a championship. And so, of course, I'm fine with that. I am frustrated by the concept of having to wait for it.
Yeah, I just,
but that is what we all want, Joe.
Look, I appreciate that his mindset is to try to really maximize the Sixers' chances of winning a title. It should be, and from that standpoint, it's good. But I just have felt the whole time that it's like he's digging for gold in an area that there's no gold. I mean, you can dig down the earth for gold or oil. If there's no gold and there's no oil, you ain't getting rich in that spot. And I just feel like he's digging and digging and digging for what? That's how I see it.
There are teams who are still interested in trading for Ben Simmons somehow.
Well, sure. There
are teams out there who will. And the idea talking about, you know, we must involve a third team. You know, like it is unlikely that this deal is going to just be two teams. You know, that makes sense too. That does improve your chances, but those deals are harder to get done.
They're complicated.
And more,
yeah.
So, yeah.
Just
got to wait for the great.
Let's find out. Wait for the great. That's a good slogan. If it happens. Let's find out what everyone thinks. Do you think the 76ers will trade Ben Simmons before the trade deadline in a couple weeks? A, yes, B, no. The GM says it's more likely that they will not make a deal, although he wants to. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter and certainly weigh in on the phone lines as well. 215-592-9494. And, you know, the strategy that Daryl Morey has presented as, you know, his strategy with the 76ers on Ben Simmons, do you think it is a wise strategy or a foolish strategy? I mean, I think it's wise if he can pull it off. I just don't think he can pull it off. Therefore, to me, it sounds foolish. That's what I hear. Let's go to Nick right now in Chester County. Hey, Nick.
Yeah, what's good, fellas?
Hi, Nick.
You know, I called in with an Eagles point, but sometimes, you know, you wait on hold and, you know, different things enter your mind.
Sure.
You know, I want to talk about the Sixers.
Sure.
John, I don't understand how you can say you trust Daryl Morey. What has this guy done to earn your trust? Like,
he hasn't made a bad trade for Ben Simmons yet. Like, he hasn't done anything to earn my distrust.
He also had a good track record in Houston, Nick. I think a lot of people do swat aside. Oh, he didn't win a title, so why should I trust him? He got Houston pretty close. There's no shame in being the third or fourth best team in basketball for about 5 years. He had a good run. He had a really good run there.
He did, but I'll say this. If James Harden wanted to be a Sixer, he would be a Sixer right now. And I feel like that's what people are sort of holding out hope for, hoping that we'll be able to get him in the offseason because he's, you know, unhappy in Brooklyn or whatever the rumors are.
Yep.
But, like, they had that opportunity last year and they blew it. They blew it.
Well, the reason is, and I, as a fan, there was an aspect to this, Nick, I appreciate it. With the Sixers, and I don't know exactly what it would have been, but what they would have had to give up in addition to Ben Simmons to get James Harden would have been all these first-round picks and all these pick swaps. And Daryl Morey was basically trying to protect, like, let's say, not only the organization, but us as fans in the year 2025, 2026, 2027. I mean, if they made the kind of trade where you give up two or three first-round picks and two or three pick swaps, I mean, that can cripple a franchise.
Yeah, but do you think it would have to be any different now? I mean, you'd still probably have to give up.
You know what? I'll tell you what. With James Harden, this upcoming offseason will be a year and a half older than he was when he was traded by Houston, because that was in the early part of last season. And the fact that I'd say James Harden, for the most part, hasn't played as well while he's still really good, I think a little bit of the shine has come off him. I think the value would be a little bit less to give up. Yeah, I do.
I think a lot of the shine has come off of Ben Simmons since then as well.
Well, so. More shine has come off Ben. That's obvious, yeah.
Yeah.
Eagles, what's your Eagles point?
Well, I think that this season was a success if you compare it to what we did last season, of course. But in terms of just the overall sort of successful season period, I would have to disagree. Because if you look at what the Bears did last season, it was really similar to what we did this season. they weren't a great team in the first half, and then they got hot at the end with a below-average schedule, and they made their way into the playoffs and didn't compete in the first game. And I think, you know...
Yeah, and then they stunk this year. So, yeah, that is a concern.
There's different dynamics to it, but I think, you know, overall, I struggle to call this a successful season for, you know, our standards as football fans.
All right, Nick, give me a current a great character in a TV show.
One of the most likable characters I've ever seen, Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso.
Great answer.
Wow.
Big answer. I am continuing in my Ted Lasso catch up. I am now season 1, episode 9 last night, John.
Okay, so almost done season 1.
I think I'll move fast now. Because here's the deal. I cleared
through. Stop watching these other things that you've seen 20 times.
Yeah, but I also watched
There's
a lot
no
of...
need for West Wing.
Hold on a second, though. I also just finished Yellowstone, that, you know, 10 episode. I just finished Cobra Kai.
Yeah, you're watching new stuff.
I'm also watching True Detective. Like, I'm watching.
Oh, guys, wait, what? Oh, you didn't tell us that.
Yes, I'm watching nine shows right now.
How far into True Detective are you?
So I started
nine
with
shows a little much.
I know it. It's too much.
You're
I know
that's a lot.
I'm well aware. Believe me, I agree with you. That's why I'm trying to not start something else. Although obviously I'm going to start Ozark this weekend. True Detective, I like it. I started with season 3, which I didn't want to do.
Oh, that was a mistake.
Well, why would you do that?
Well, here's the reason. So Amy from Villanova, tell me if she's wrong. So she tells me that each season is a completely new entry.
It is, but season 1 is like far and away the best season.
Well, what
like,
season 1 is the one that you want to watch.
I'm going to give you the answer because she says, and again, she could be wrong, seasons 1 and 3 are both very good and 2 stinks. She had seen season 1. I had not.
I haven't seen three.
Watching it together.
I've heard it's okay, like comparatively. Yeah. Like one is one of the best seasons of television in the last 20 years.
Fair enough, and I can get to that on my own time.
Like, watch one.
We sit together and you know. And
tell her to rewatch one.
She didn't want to. Listen, James, we have these battles. Believe me, I mean, you know, James, you know how it is with your wife. When you got to choose shows, that's a decision.
No, we're linked, man. We don't have any. She loves Succession. She loves. We love the same things. Like we don't have any issues with that. We honestly, our issue is, and this is not something you can relate to.
Right.
We don't have enough time to watch all the TV we want to watch.
Oh
yet.
No, I can't relate to that.
I know you can. Trust me, I know you can.
I even have.
We get like 3 or 4 hours a week to watch.
Sometimes
TV
I'm
Max.
Even sitting there, and she's and believe me, I'm not partaking actively, but I might be like preparing for the show or something. And freaking Vanderpump Rules is on TV. That show is a disgrace to humanity.
Yeah, I don't.
John,
I don't
if you don't know Vanderpump Rules, consider yourself lucky.
So you watch that?
Keep your daughters away from watching Vanderpump Rules.
They don't want to watch.
But it's the kind of thing in 7 years they'll probably want to watch. Women like Vanderpump Rules. I mean, it is.
Well, you watch.
It's a really popular show.
It is.
It's like one of the most popular of those types of things.
And then what's
things.
The Down Under show? Below Deck? What's that thing called?
There is a show called Below Deck.
Yeah, when I say Down Under, Down Under the ship.
The deck.
Yeah.
Below Deck. I think you're talking about like an Australian show.
No, John, Below Deck.
So these are also shows that you're watching?
No.
You watch Vanderpump Rules.
Tough beat
and
for you,
Below
buddy.
Deck.
Don't stick me with that, John.
So you're watching 11.
Like
shows.
I said, I might be sitting there preparing for the show and it's back. And when I say background noise, I mean noise.
You love it.
They're like the what's those the wives of
Real Housewives.
Yeah, they're like the cousins of the Real Housewives show. They're terrible. They're disgraceful. Let's go to Steve right now in Feasterville. Steve, don't stick with those shows. What's up, man?
How you doing today?
Hey, buddy.
Great, Steve.
All right, first time, long time.
Thank you.
As far as the Sixers, Simmons, I think we're just going to let him sit and you know in the corner. Until he gets what he wants.
Well, there is that's the one part of the strategy I do enjoy that, you know, it seems like for the most part Ben doesn't get paid. And you know, that theoretically could go into next year. It's a wild scenario.
Well, the thing is he's hurting himself and besides he thinks he's hurting the Sixers. But
yeah, he absolutely is not getting paid, guys.
At this point in time I think Matisse Stiebel is worth more than Ben is.
No, as far as the guy that plays, sure, because Thibault plays and Ben doesn't. But on the trade market, it's a tremendous difference. You got to remember, Steve, Ben Simmons is a 3-time All-Star at the age of 25.
Correct.
I mean, you know, like I know we view him kind of as a joke, but other organizations, particularly small market organizations, like the Pacers and the Kings, who never get a legitimate free agent to choose to sign in Sacramento or Indiana, organizations like that value the idea of being able to get a player that has 4 years left on his contract after this one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that they don't get that often. The Kings had one run in the last 40 years, And it was because they made a trade for a disgruntled potential star in Chris Webber, and it actually worked for them. And that's part of why the Kings fan base is intrigued by Ben Simmons.
Hey, you realize Ben Simmons, like these fines now have added up to
more if he sued up.
Yeah. All right, Steve, give me a great character on TV. Who do you have?
Kelly Riley from Yellowstone.
You got it, man. Yeah, Dutton? Yellowstone's got the Duttons. I got you.
$13.5 million. $13.6 million. He's forfeited.
Yeah, I mean,
this season.
Here's the problem. It's funny. I was having a conversation with a friend on the phone about this last night, John. This is what's nuts. I'm not going to say he doesn't care because I don't know that. He doesn't care enough to show up. We know that. Yeah. And why does he not care enough to show up? Because even if he doesn't show up this year, he still has about $120 million guaranteed for the next 4 years, which he can choose to change his strategy or not if he wants. He still has however many millions he's already made in the NBA as a number one overall pick. Let's remember, this isn't like, hey, you're an NFL or you're a third-round guy, you're making $1 million or $500,000 in a season. I mean, he's probably already made, and you might have the numbers right in front of you, Don, he's probably already made $40 or $50 million by the Sixers. Plus, he's got all the endorsements. I mean, you got to remember, he is Australian endorsement guy. Australia is a continent. So, you know, we go through Philadelphia, or if you go up to New York and go through Times Square, you might not see a Ben Simmons big endorsement. You go through Australia, you're going to see endorsements. He's Australia basketball dude. So this guy has already banked millions. He knows millions are still coming. So he literally doesn't care enough about the money he's missing to show up, which is sick.
You got to assume, though, that...
But it makes sense if you have that many millions.
Those endorsement deals have to be flagging to some degree in his native...
You know, I don't
country.
Know if there were clauses in those contracts where those companies say, if you don't play in the NBA because you choose not to, we get to opt out and not have to pay you. I mean, think of it this way, guys. Zion doesn't play. Zion, when he came out of Duke in the NBA, he had like a $100 million deal. I think it was Nike. Wasn't it Nike that Zion got $100 million?
I believe so, yeah.
All right. He doesn't play basketball. He hasn't played this year in the 3 years. I mean, people probably forget. This is Zion's third year. But most people probably don't know that because it seemed like he never plays. But, I mean, you're raking in millions. Now, most athletes, I think, are still motivated to try their hardest and to show up and to be in shape, knowing, hey, I can parlay this into a 15-year career and I can make $500 to $750 million. That's appealing. I'd like to buy a plane. I can't buy a plane right now, but maybe in 7 years I can buy a plane. Cool. But some athletes are like, yo, like Derek Coleman, whoop-de-damn-do, the hell with it, I'm done.
You know, I think it's also that some of those guys really love playing. And
that's,
you know, that's part of it too, right? Yeah. Which is something we've talked a lot about with Ben.
Well, we talk a lot about that with Ben in part because, John, he might enjoy basketball, but competitive basketball, when the fans are in the stands and the opposing team can foul him and he is afraid.
I don't think he enjoys basketball.
I mean, he must play every single game afraid every single time the ball goes into a half-court setting.
Right.
Fast break, I don't think he's afraid. Defense, I don't think he's afraid. When the ball crosses half court and his team has the ball and it's 5-on-5 and a half court, I think he's afraid. We fundamentally know he's afraid to shoot the ball.
Right.
Therefore, I think he's afraid to play offensive basketball. Mm-hmm. And that can't be fun. And, God, that's got to be brutal. Let's go to Ja'Cory. If the guy just learned to shoot the ball, the whole thing could be different. Had the guts to do it. What's up, Ja'Cory?
What's going on, guys?
Hi, Ja'Cory.
First off, I want to start off with the Eagles. I feel like it wasn't a successful season because of the free agent signings. Steven Nelson was all right, but
he wasn't horrible. No, the Vikings linebacker they cut was horrible. Steve Nelson was okay. The Eagles got
Harris. Steve Nelson.
Yeah,
oh,
Nelson,
I'm sorry.
The linebacker.
No, Eric Wilson.
Yeah, Wilson. Wilson was horrible. Steve Nelson was okay. He did get picked on by Brady though. Brady went after him in the playoff game.
Ryan Kerrigan, horrible.
Yeah.
Yep.
I feel, and another thing is too. John was talking with Fletcher Cox. Yeah, you're right. Like, we might have to take what is it, $15 million cap hit going into next season. That's bad. That's like you know, that takes off what we can do with free agency, like signing a big-name wide receiver or getting, you know, another offensive lineman or a deep or a corner that we can get.
Yeah.
Another thing is, too, with Jalen Hurts' development, I know we want him to develop, but I don't think we don't have that much time because our aging veterans on defense especially, you know, offensive line, we don't know if Kelsey's going to retire this year or what. So we don't know. We can't. There's no time to develop. We're in win now mode based off, you know, our aging veterans. So with Ben Simmons, too,
yep.
I feel like he's going to get traded at some point. I think it's going to happen in the offseason, not now, because there's too many things going on. I think Murray's more is just waiting for the right, you know, deal to come along.
Do you think he's going to get that, Ja'Cory?
I don't. He's not going to get the star that he wants, but he's going to get like a De'Aaron Fox or maybe a Sabonis somebody like that, a lower tier all-star, something like that.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. I think Fox is nowhere near an all-star, but I agree with your general assessment. He'll get an okay player, but far from the kind of player that we're really hoping he gets, which is part of my frustration that he keeps waiting, because my sense is those players have been available the whole time.
And he keeps waiting
for something that I just don't think will come around. I mean, like, I could be trying to be the Phillies shortstop. It's never going to happen. I can try. I can try for the next 25 years. It'll never happen. I'm not good enough. He's waiting for something that I believe will never, ever, ever happen. For him to get some kind of transformative player in a trade, I just don't think it's going to happen. Ja'Cory, give me a great current character in a television show.
Okay, this probably won't win, but it's one of my favorite shows on television. I think this is an underrated show. I'm going to go with Franklin Saint Snowfall, FX.
All right, you got it, Ja'Cory. Appreciate that phone call, man. 215-592-9494. Coming up, audio of a Bucks coach on the sideline from the game last Sunday. Critical of Jalen Hurts telling his defense what Jalen Hurts could not do against Tampa Bay's defense. It's pretty damning audio. That plus Greg Cosell from NFL Films, from NFL Films. Greg weighing in on Hurts, his evaluation with Hurts now that the season is over. You'll hear what Cosell, who is the master of film study, says about what he sees on film when he watched Jalen Hurts play. All that and more up ahead, plus Beat the Hammer at noon. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on 94 WIP. Hey, you guys hear me talking all the time about how much I love to take a hot bath. I certainly do. And there's nothing better than knowing that with a parts and labor plan from PGW, when you need hot water, you have hot water. PGW's parts and labor plan is great protection for your natural gas heater and other natural gas appliances. And when your appliances run efficiently, you spend less money, and of course that means you get to keep more money in your pocket. There are plenty of plans to choose from, and there's never been a better time to sign up. Plus, it's so easy to do. Go to pgwplp.com. That's pgwplp.com, and choose the plan that's right for you.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I would.
I gotta tell you, my co-host, my buddy, Mr. John Ritchie, he cracks me up. He's maybe the only person in the city of Philadelphia right now, because I just walked past where John's sitting as I walk back in the studio. And as I move behind John and see the computer he's looking at, so he's not looking at porn. What he's looking at, ready for this? He's breaking down tape of the Eagles-Bucks game.
If I'd had to guess, if you had said, what do you think he's looking at? That would have been my guess.
I mean, this guy, the game is over. The season is over. But John Ritchie is a man of integrity. When it comes to football opinions, he tells you based on what he sees on the film. And he is literally breaking down Eagles-Bucks game tape during the commercial break.
Sounds horrible watching that game again. I thought you were going to talk about the, like, giant water jug. The, like, like four-person-size water jug that he carries around with him every day.
That's a whole nother mess.
It is gigantic.
That is big. Heavy when it's full.
I'm sure it is.
All right, to the phones we go. We'll get to the Jalen Hurts situation. Some Bucks audio the other day. We'll hit that shortly. Plus, Greg Cosell, a breakdown of Hurts from what Cosell said recently on a podcast. We'll hit that shortly. Let's talk to Don right now. Yo, Don.
Yo, fellas. How are you today?
Doing well, Don.
Hey, John, at the beginning of the year, you had a statistic on both quarterbacks. but they weren't finished. You're going to come up with that statistic at the end of the year to compare them.
Statistics for what?
Quarterback. For both quarterbacks, about what their yearly statistics were. But in the beginning of the year, it was like 15-5 or something like that.
Are you talking about two specific quarterbacks?
Yeah, Minshew and Jalen Hurts.
Well, Minshew only played one game. Well, two.
No. At the beginning of the year, John had the statistics for both quarterbacks.
Okay, and so what's the point?
Now, he said he'd mention it at the end of the season with how they measured up.
Well, I don't know what to tell you there, man.
I don't.
Yeah, I know. But
you mean like,
you know,
like career wise, what they've done?
Yeah.
I'll check. I'll look for that.
I appreciate that. And your question was like, was it a successful season? I don't really think it was.
Yeah.
Because the Jets, I don't think Jalen Hurts would have scored.
Well, he would have scored. He might not have scored as much as Minshew did. Minshew played a good game.
Hurts would have beat the Jets.
Yeah, Hurts would have beaten the Jets, though. Yes, Hurts would have beaten the Jets. All right, Don, give me a great, current character on TV. Who do you have?
Jeff Pappas.
All right, man, you got it.
His point, though, I mean, the theme of that call was that there were a lot of people who were saying, you know, Minshew is not a threat.
Right.
I wonder if as many people feel that way now.
Well, the other theme of his call is he wants you to be his statistical looker-upper guy.
Yeah, he doesn't want to turn on his computer himself, I guess.
I'm like, what are we doing here?
It's called Pro Football Reference, pal. Not that hard.
I didn't remember all that. But, you know,
do your job, John. Tell him the statistics.
I think what
you
we
said
saw,
you were going to do it.
What we saw was, like, Gardner Minshew was pretty good. I mean, you know, like, he moved the ball. It felt different. It felt more like Nick Foles' offense where – you know, the ball was coming out quickly. It was, you know, sort of a night and day.
Well, it's
approach.
A different time
very,
and rhythm.
Very different rhythm. That's a great word for it. Yeah. Very different rhythm. Gardner Minshew is good enough to be playing somewhere.
I agree with you.
And there are, you know, there are games where it didn't look like Jalen was good enough to be playing somewhere. The Giants game and this last game. You know, he left a bad taste in our mouths.
Honestly, I think they're comparable quarterbacks currently. Totally different styles, but if you ask me,
I think it's lateral.
Yeah, it's very lateral.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get to some audio. This was fascinating. This audio cropped up after our show yesterday. I don't even know what show it's from. I'm guessing it's from like an Inside the NFL type show. Maybe it was something only released on the internet. I don't know. But, of course, the NFL during games, the NFL is constantly miking up certain figures in the game, on the sidelines, and then they do a great job putting together, you know, shows or little clips centered around sort of some inside information of what went out there on the field on Sunday or on the sideline. I actually am a little surprised this piece of audio got released, because usually the league is pretty damn tight about making sure that certain types of audio is not released. If you remember, the league took a lot of heat when the Sam Darnold audio came out 2 years ago when he said, I'm seeing ghosts out there. I'm seeing ghosts. And the Jets personnel people were like, yeah, that's not cool that the league released that, because it made Darnold look like a fool to his own fan base and, you know, might have devalued him to a certain extent. Could be true, but normally the league doesn't release certain types of audio. Well, they released audio yesterday of a fairly biting commentary. Now, it's really short. It's only about 3 seconds. But biting commentary of a Tampa Bay Bucs defensive coach who was instructing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers players during the game the other day, saying basically that Jalen Hurts can't read the Bucs defense, that he can't decipher what he's seeing, and that's why he's struggling, and that's why the Bucs are dominating him, basically saying keep doing what you're doing. This guy can't figure it out. Listen to the audio. We're going to give you a little bit more broader context here, how it was presented in the show, but you'll hear about 3 or 4 seconds of a Bucs coach telling the defensive players for Tampa, basically, Jalen Hurts doesn't have it.
Hurts under pressure. He's going to be sacked for the second time today.
To be honest with you, it's been a mismatch so far.
This guy can't read. Hey, Mike, keep moving around. He can't read now. He's going to give us a couple.
He can't read. The Bucs coach said Jalen Hurts, and of course, he's not talking about reading a book. He's talking about reading the defense. He's saying to the Bucs players, Jalen Hurts can't figure out what we're doing to him. He just can't figure it out. He can't read our defense.
I don't understand what's so surprising about this.
Well, it's damning, John.
What, so what? He's a young quarterback. This is what every defense is saying on the sidelines when they're playing a young quarterback that they confuse. He's saying, guys, keep he said it flat out. Yeah. Keep moving around. This guy can't read.
Yeah, well, you don't think that's a problem?
Of course it's a problem, okay. But it's a problem that can be corrected.
It's all
it's correctable. It's a problem that is corrected the more a quarterback plays. What he's saying to his guys is, hey, what we're doing, our game plan, it's working. Keep up the good work. That's essentially what he's saying.
John, do you know – that is what he's saying. Do you know what the best way to correct that problem is? Because I know the answer.
What, go pay $45 million for a guy who can read?
Yeah, get a
different quarterback. This quarterback reading,
maybe,
in quotes,
maybe
this next year?
Maybe.
Yes, it's a maybe.
He has
but
so
it's,
long
it's
ago,
the most
man.
Viable maybe for this
well,
team's success.
Listen, Angelo.
What you're saying, what you're suggesting is that because this coach is cheering his guys on, saying, hey, keep up the good work. What you're doing, disguising things and rotating late, is working. You're saying that means we get rid of Jalen Hurts?
That's what I'm saying.
It's preposterous.
No, it's not preposterous.
This is absolutely something that is said in every single football game ever played when you've got a young quarterback who's struggling.
Well, I don't disagree with you there, but what I'll say is this. We as a fan base, as a town, have become, not everybody, but a lot of people, very protective of quarterbacks that we like or that we believe in or that we believed in. And, of course, I'm going back to the Carson thing. There was overwhelming evidence by last year that Carson didn't have it. Not everybody believed me. Some people did. That's fine. My point is this. I just implore people to recognize, people that are huge believers in Jalen Hurts, just recognize there's a really decent shot Jalen Hurts will not be a good NFL quarterback.
First of all, there's not an overabundance of people who believe Jalen Hurts is the future. There's an overabundance of people who believe this guy has improved and he might continue to improve. So next season, it makes the most sense to allow him to try to do that.
I get it, but
like what you're saying, like give up on this guy because he had a bad game against one of the best defenses out there. Against one of the best defensive coordinators in the land.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
But here's my.
I'm so sick of. You know what this is? This is like the canceled the camera culture.
No, it's not.
That said, hey, Nick Sirianni needs to be fired in week 7.
John,
this is overreacting to one simple statement that is
very have standards.
Common. It's commonly made.
You know what this
on
is?
Sideline.
Let me tell you what this is. It was overwhelmingly obvious. I don't know. 3 or 4 seasons ago that Mikel Franco wasn't a very good Philly. But then they played him for 2 or 3 more years. I mean, you can just
come on, man. You can't.
You know what?
He might improve.
He could improve.
Come on.
At some point, you just
so apples and oranges.
Look.
Yeah. This quarterback is young and inexperienced, and probably the worst part of his game is figuring out how to find the open guy.
How many years do we wait for Jared Eichhoff? James, how many years do we wait for Jared Eichhoff to figure it out?
Too many.
It's moronic to say, hey, this guy, we're done with him. Because the Tampa Bay coach cheering his guys on said he couldn't read what they were doing.
They're done with him or should be. What I'm saying is the Eagles absolutely should be in the mindset to try to upgrade this offseason. If they can't and Hurts is the guy, so be it. But
They are, of course, Howie would say, we're always looking to upgrade at every position. When you're looking to upgrade at a position that is so, I mean, talk about a disparate spread between $1.3 million and $45 million
right.
with an upgrade.
You're right.
It's nonsensical to say, because this guy said, hey, defense, you're doing a good job. Keep it up. This guy can't deal with what we're giving him. Like, now we're going to hamstring the rest of our team because of a coach cheering his guys on.
All right, let's go to TR in Winfield. The coach was just talking basic truth. What's up, TR?
Hey, John. Hey, what's up, Joe and John?
Hey, dude.
Hi,
listen,
TR.
John, I agree with you 100%. He's a young quarterback. It's like, how can you possibly – yeah, he's young. He took us from 2 and 5
TR,
to
TR, does every young player who can improve become good enough?
Who can't improve?
No. Does every young quarterback who can improve become good enough?
Not all the time, no.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But in this case, But this
so
guy,
what kind of
guy,
question
he,
is
he,
that?
I just want people
to understand, while a guy can improve and he will improve, it doesn't mean he will be good enough.
Well, no kidding.
Oh, I just want to make sure people
understand.
But
you're saying jump ship because he won't improve.
I'm saying try to jump ship.
Now,
yeah, I mean, it's
trying to jump ship, it means you're jumping ship on the rest of the team, too.
No, it does.
It
means
yeah,
I'm trying to help.
It does.
It means I'm
$45 million
to,
bucks for that
trying
quarterback.
Trying to help the rest
of the team. What the coach is saying on the sideline is just like a fighter in a fight. The opposing corner saying, yo, he keeps dropping his left hand. Drop the right hand on the matching jab.
Right.
So it's different. They're going to say what he can't do to give, you know.
TR, one
exactly.
Of the, TR,
it's
one
like
of these,
saying, you're killing him. You got it. It's encouragement.
Yeah. TR,
keep it up.
TR, one of these years, more people are going to realize I know what I'm talking about when I talk about quarterbacks. I'm a student of the game, TR.
And one other thing, as far as him improving, man, you know, like he took us from 2-5 to the playoffs. With the best of the best in the world in the NFL, professional players.
Well, it was against the worst of the best. First off,
no, you're talking about the NFL though. So I don't
yeah, but it was the worst of the best. The Eagles beat the worst of the best. They beat NFL teams and they beat some of the worst teams.
It's like saying a fighter never fought nobody, but the guy who fought for a championship comes from zero fights up to a championship. You can't control that. You play the pros. Like
I know. TR, give me a great character on TV. Active show today. Who do you have?
Little Sheldon on
Young Sheldon.
You got it, man. All right, TR, we got you, man. James, what do you got in there?
Adam Schefter, the Giants are planning to hire Bills assistant GM Joe Schoen as their general manager per sources. They still have to work out a contract, but the Giants' other GM finalists have been told they're out. If they work out a deal, Schoen is expected to be the Giants' next GM.
All right, there it is. Well, so that guy's got a big job to try to rebuild the New York football Giants, who have been a disgrace.
Does Doug have any connection to this guy?
No, but Brian Daboll obviously does.
Oh, yeah.
So
that was kind of a rumored thing that potentially Daboll could go where Schoen went. We'll see.
Good, because I don't want Doug there.
As long as Doug's not the Giants head coach, I'm fine with whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Wasn't Doug considered the front runner for that job?
That was just a betting thing. I don't think there was like an actual.
Okay, but that would make him amongst them.
Yeah, but there was no like reporting that he was
correct.
The front runner.
Yeah, but we had seen a betting line there. All right, so. Look, John, you think Dable's good, and so that could be their structure in New York, which I guess from your standpoint, that would concern you a little bit.
I would say this is
bad.
Yeah.
You think it's bad news for Eagles fans?
It's bad.
Yeah, I think it's good news because I don't want Doug there.
Well, I mean, it's kind of bad news for Doug.
I don't care if they hire
his best chance to get a head coach.
Well, maybe. He's going to get one of these spots. Doug's Doug, man. Doug's the man.
Doug is not Doug, the man, everywhere outside of Philadelphia. You know.
All right, let's get to audio. Greg Cosell speaking recently on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. A little breakdown of Hurts here, telling you some of the things Hurts has to work on this offseason. And, you know, Greg lays it out pretty clear.
In the areas in which Jalen Hurts needs to improve, such as field vision, what he sees, the ability to eliminate what's not there and isolate what is there within the structure and timing of plays, the ability to throw with timing and anticipation, the ability to be far more consistently precise with his ball placement. Can those areas be improved? These are questions you have to answer as an organization and a coaching staff.
Makes sense. That's, of course, Greg Cosell, NFL Films, on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. There's a lot of things he's got to improve on. Can he? Yes. Will he? Yes. Will he improve enough? That's where it gets tricky. Let's go to Billy T in Princeton. Billy T, what's up, man?
Hey, fellas.
Hey, Billy T.
Great day, John, Jimmy. Hey, you know, I got a small bone to pick with you guys. Making fun of me the other day about the indoor shooting range cross training. I mean, really, it's all about eyes, and it's all about how quick you recognize things.
Yeah, I know.
And I mean, it's not far-fetched, but that's all. But here's what I think the Eagles need to do, and I thought the season was semi-successful. So, I mean, they've identified a left guard. They understand they've got a couple young players that can play right guard. They know Lane Johnson is still Lane Johnson. We've identified a left tackle.
Yep.
And the only hole on the offensive line is whether Kelsey's coming back. But they still have to plan for the future. My thing is what are they going to do on the defensive side of the ball? And I think I'm with you kind of on this, John. You know, there's a lot of holes to fill over there.
comes.
And one of the things, if this defensive coordinator is seriously being considered for a head coaching job, please take it. Please
right.
take it.
I know.
And bring in, John, who would you want to bring in?
Vic
I know
Fangio.
You mentioned, how about the guy from Minnesota?
Sure. I'll tell you. I mean, I don't think Mike Zimmer would take a DC job, but yeah, if he wants to be our defensive coordinator, I think that'd be great. Him or Vic Fangio? I think Vic Fangio is more likely because he has only been a head coach for, you know, a short period of time, and that was his first opportunity after a long time of being a heralded defensive coordinator. He really knows what he's doing.
Well, the other thing with that and is that you have to have a succession plan. And if they're looking at Gannon as the head coaching material, that this guy is only going to be here 1 or 2 years anyway. So let's get somebody in here that we know can teach other defensive assistants as well as the ball players, because that's all part of it. You know, what you do in the classroom. And I'm still a big advocate of getting Nick Foles here. I mean, he's 33 years old. Get him in here. He knows how to read the progressions. And who knows what he can do to help our quarterback.
Well, something to be considered, but I'll say this. If they don't trade Minshew, I'm also very happy having Minshew back as the backup, because I think he's a very good backup. Now, they might trade him because maybe some team will be interested in him as a low-level starter. So maybe they can pluck a fourth or fifth or sixth round pick from someone. But if they don't, and Minshew's here, that's to me, that's fine as well. Billy T, give me a great TV character in an active show.
I'm going to go out of the box. I don't watch a lot of TV shows. I'm going to say Tucker Carlson.
Tucker Carlson. All right, I think we're going more.
Not a character. So, he's a person. I mean, I guess you could argue he plays a character or whatever.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Kevin right now in Delaware. Hey, Kevin.
Fellas, I'm sitting here in my office working, and I'm using you guys as background noise. So I'm just chilling out until, Joe, you made that idiotic comment you just made. And I think the guy that used the boxing analogy was fantastic. But, Joe, let me ask you this.
I'm curious which idiotic comment, because I make a lot of idiotic comments. So which one?
Because a coach was hyping his players on the field.
It's not hyping. Kevin, it's not hyping. He's instructing them to keep doing what they're doing because he's saying the quarterback.
Joe, did you watch the national championship game against Alabama and Georgia?
You're saying this year or previous years?
This year.
I watched most of the second half. I watched
about the fourth quarter. Because the Alabama coaches were saying the same thing to the Georgia players about Stetson Bennett until the coaches came back, fixed him, and then got it changed. For you to think this is something that can't be fixed from a quarterback.
Kevin, I didn't say it can't be fixed. I didn't say it can't be fixed.
But you get so negative. We said this the other day. You take this as the Bible. It's nothing like John said. It's just in the heat of the moment, the heat of the game, a coach talking to his players. You don't think Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, all of them had moments their true rookie year?
Kevin, I want to ask you a question.
Go ahead.
3 years from now, how good do you think Jalen Hurts is as a quarterback in the NFL?
He'll be serviceable to get us back to an NFC championship game.
Okay, I disagree with that, and you might be right, and I might be right. But what I know is this. If I'm the Eagles planning this offseason, and I think what I think, which is that he will be an average at best NFL starting quarterback, then I'm trying to get someone else.
Joe, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Have average or at best starting NFL quarterbacks won the Super Bowl?
Absolutely. But it doesn't happen that often.
Yes, it does. It happens more than you think.
No.
Like John said, you're willing to spend $45 million to cap your salary cap for one player that will then now not allow you to do anything else for the regular team.
Kevin, you got to remember, these acquisitions of a quarterback could come with a restructured contract. I mean, when John says $45 million, it could be substantially less than that.
No, it can't.
Sure it can.
Not for an elite starting quarterback.
No, you could restructure the deal.
You're going to have to guarantee all the money. And it's going to be, if it's not this year, it'll be 2 years from now. What are you saying? An elite starting quarterback is like a diamond. Like, you pay what it's worth.
Yeah, I get it. What I'm telling you is it doesn't have to be applied $45 million to the 2022 salary cap. It doesn't have to be.
All right. I disagree with you, Joe. But you know what? 3 years, I guess we'll see.
Kevin, give me what you got here for a great TV show, active show.
My main man.
Great character.
Stabler.
I'm sorry.
Elliot Stabler.
You got it, man. Kevin, appreciate the call. Always good. Here
I love
from,
Elliot.
From Kevin.
You know who Elliot Stabler is?
It's Ken Stabler's brother, right?
It's not.
No?
No.
Is it Elliot?
To show that you've gotten the acronym wrong on this show before.
Oh, the CSV or what's that thing called? SUV. And I called it SVU one time.
It's SVU. You called it SUV.
Oh, okay, yeah. SUV. But it's got the brunette in there.
Yeah, well, right? Could be Mariska. An answer.
Who's the daughter of?
Yeah, Jane Mansfield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. 215-592-9494. All right, Pete DeHammer coming in with a rather astounding 176 wins. I'll go for another one. And
I think it's 177. I hate
no,
to
it's 178.
Oh, 178. You said 176.
I got 178. It was
okay. You just said 176. That's what.
No, 178. Did I say 176?
No, I think you said 176. Yeah. That's why I said 177.
No, it's 178.
Okay, there you go.
I don't know.
It's 178. I got it. I looked it up last week. I made sure I had it right.
Cheating!
Stop it.
All right, Belichick.
You forfeit.
Coming up, looking for 179, expecting to get it. Seltzer, the contest line number. What is it?
215-988-1258. 1258.
Be the fifth caller.
Good job with that.
Fifth caller in the contest line. You compete and, let's be real, frankly, lose to the Hammer. Beat the Hammer is next.
One of the things I love most about my Park Sportsbook app is that it's not just about picking which team wins when you place your bets. They offer lots of action and so many different ways to bet on individual player performances. It just makes watching the game that much more exciting. In football, you can bet passing and rushing yards, who scores touchdowns, and plus with live in-game betting and their incredible same-game parlays, the Park Sportsbook app is custom-made for you. And that's why it's the only sportsbook app I recommend. Sign up now, make your first bet risk-free on your favorite player or a player you're watching, or bet on any game. Download the app, get your first bet risk-free up to $500. Go to parkscasino.com/PA, use my promo code JRWIP, and check out Pro Football on Sunday night. Buffalo is getting 2 points against our old coach in Kansas City. I believe in Buffalo and that defense, and they're plus 108 on the money line, too. The over-under is 54 points. Your risk-free bet is refunded in site credit. The website has all the terms and conditions. Do it now and bet with the best, the Park Sportsbook app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.